My friend Jess is one of those crafty Pinterest people who make their own wrapping paper using junk mail and flour and some beets from the compost bin. Jess made all her own Christmas tree ornaments, and she and her husband cut down their tree in the wilds of southern Vermont. Like me, Jess is a second-year minister, but unlike me, today she spent the day brining meat for tomorrow's Christmas dinner and embroidering cloth napkins with her guests' name on them to use as place cards. My guests would be lucky if I asked what they wanted on their pizza before I ordered it. This year, Jess has proclaimed, will be the best Christmas ever. So what makes a Christmas the best Christmas ever? Family gathering from near and far, a dinner free of political arguments with Uncle Bill, who no matter how many times you change the subject, keeps coming back to politics. Thousands of twinkling lights, little children glowing with that delight that only little kids get at Christmas time when they just can't believe life could be this awesome. Those are all really good things, great things. But does that make it the best Christmas ever? So let's rewind a few thousand years. Mary is very pregnant, and with her fiancé Joseph, she has to go to Bethlehem for the census so they can pay taxes. The book of Luke says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register." So Joseph went also to Bethlehem. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby. They were keeping watch over their flocks of sheep at night. And an angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. It's going to cause you great joy. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts, so angels, appeared, and they were praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to all." When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." And so they hurried. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed. Amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured these things and held them in her heart. Did you catch the bit about the manger? Three times the scripture mentions, in a manger, born in a manger. It's crazy, but it's true. Jesus was born in a horse's trough, those things that horses drink water out of or eat hay out of. Growing up, I had a friend named Shelley. She was born at a Shell gas station. True story. Her parents were on the way to the hospital, and all of a sudden, here came the baby. Shelly's mom said, "Pull over." And her dad said, "Where?" And she said, "Just pull over." And they pulled into a parking lot, and pretty soon afterwards, gas station attendants with an ancient first aid kit delivered a perfectly healthy and happy baby girl. Whenever Shelley tells this story, people can't get over the gas station bit. Really? A gas station? Looking at this tall, accomplished woman who is now a medical doctor, who was born under the bright lights of a Shell gas station. And that's how the writer of Luke is. He just can't get over it. There's a baby born in a manger where horses eat. Earlier, Paul read us a poem by Maureen Killiaron. And she writes, "Love does not depend on perfection, but on a willingness to risk connection. Jesus is born in a stable. The timing wasn't right. The situation, the atmosphere was not right. But love came anyway." So do you know what makes Christmas the best Christmas ever? When we are willing to risk connection and let love in anyway. Jesus was born without clean sheets, without a midwife. He wasn't even in a house. He was in a stable, lying in a trough used to feed animals. But love came anyway, without embroidered napkins and handmade ornaments, without gifts and twinkling lights. Although those are good things, love doesn't rely on them. I don't think there's a happier sound in the universe than that. I can't, there's nothing else out there that is that great. Yeah. We're talking about you. So this Christmas, let's let love in. Even if it is Uncle Bill ranting about politics, even if there isn't enough room at the inn or at your house, even if there is no money for twinkling lights and shiny paper and gifts this year, even if the roast burns. Because the miracle of Christmas occurs when we take a risk and try for connection. The miracle is that even without perfection, we try again and again to be in relationship with each other. These perfectly imperfect, entirely holy people all around us. Let's risk that for Christmas.